This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله أما بعد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته my dear brothers sisters in Islam and inshallah we will go on a journey you're invited on a journey a very short journey but it means a lot and hopefully again by the end of this journey we will learn a lot if we listen with our hearts and really think about the reason we're here And hopefully, inshallah, we can see the reward. Get the fruit when you sow the seed. And inshallah, by the end of this session, we can alleviate some of the misconceptions, get on the right track, and ultimately get some people married. The brother was coming to me, you know, I misunderstood him from the Sydney posse. He's already embarrassed covering his face, but don't worry, man, we won't point you out. you know, when I was under the impression he was married to two of the sisters, sadly I was mistaken. He was still looking for his first wife. So we're making advertising on the brother's behalf. Inshallah, we'll come up with a game plan for everyone that is looking for a spouse, inshallah. The topic is marriage, the dilemma of marriage. And, you know, why is it stressful? Why is it a dilemma? Because we make it a dilemma. Because we make it stressful. Because we stayed away from the Quran and Sunnah, and what did we take on? Urf. We took on tradition, cultures, habits, old baggage, luggage, what we call back home. Still, I deal with this a lot, either before, through, or after. And it's so simple, subhanAllah, but we make it difficult. Let us start this journey quickly. The number one reason you will have a successful marriage, inshallah, is by being proactive, by doing your homework. We talk about this in details, inshallah, in the course, but we're taking you through a sort of a quicker tour tonight. Please understand that if you don't pave the way, in a profound way, a solid foundation of your marriage, you will have a shaky start. Not a very good way to start. So let us start beforehand, before marriage in itself. I'm going to ask some questions, and hopefully it'll trigger something. I'm going to ask a very simple question. What is number one haqq? What is number one right for your children? Anybody knows? Mashallah, what is it? A good mother. Mashallah, who is that? Allahu Akbar. Good for you, akhi. Wallahi, he's right. Most of the time I get a lot of answers, but that's exactly it. And he didn't have to call a friend or... Alhamdulillah, survey says number one and all that stuff. It's true. Being a proactive father or a mother is choosing the righteous spouse. It's true. Very true. There are some more rights for your child. We'll take them in details later, inshallah. But now at least let's pave that way. We're going to take you through this process of choosing a spouse, then getting this wedding thing out of the way. How stressful can you be? So let us now, we talked to the sisters early on today. We talked about this building, you know, of dreams. I'm talking to the brothers now this time, just a little bit. When I go to universities, usually speak to the youth, I tell them, Akhi, what do you remember from the hadith, man? When Prophet Muhammad ﷺ mentioned four criteria for the sister to look for to wed. What do you think number one on the? Yeah, I remember the hadith, man. What do you remember? لِجَمَالِهَا, of course. For her beauty, man. It's true. It's very true. Beauty is actually there. Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani rahmatullah alayhi, he actually mentioned that, and we'll take the reason we say that for, not here, but another stand. But Islam is a practical religion. It's true. Prophet Muhammad ﷺ mentioned these four criteria for a reason. So you want to look for a beautiful wife. Because if you don't have a beautiful wife, according to your standards of the eye of the beholder, inshallah, because you walk downtown or somewhere in Australia in the summertime, may Allah help you, inshallah, or on university campus, and you see things, sisters in humanity walking around. And now you go home and look to your wife, and then, right, you said, I should have listened to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the four criteria are there. But when I asked the brother, what do you really want? He says, أريدها بيضاء طويلة شعرها كالحرير غير متجعد في كل لون متجدد لها لون في النهار ولون بالليل. لا. I want her to be tall and white, beautiful silky hair, has a different color during the day, different color during the night. إذا رأيتها من بعيد, if you see her from far, she's beautiful. And if she comes close, she's even more beautiful. As if she's riding a horse. Here comes the horse again. What's up with that, man? كانت غنية ثم افتقرت. She was rich, then became poor. فلها عز الغنى وذل الفقر. She was rich and became poor, so she now has that pride, that arrogance, the nobility of that wealth. But she's also humble and modest when it comes to poverty. تعطف على الصغار وتكرم الكبار ولا تضار الجار. She's kind to the young, gentle, and respects the old, good with the neighbors. I mean, the list is so long. You know, Al-Qattan, Zala Nakhayda, says, وَاللَّهِ لَوْ رَأَيْنَا هَذِهِ الْمَرْأَةِ لَبَايَعْنَاهَا عَلَى الْخِلَافَةِ By Allah, if we find this woman that you have all these criteria for, we would have, then what? Put her as an Amir Mu'mineen, man. We took an oath, yes, so go ahead, you can lead this ummah. But then that same brother that is coming to look for all these things in that future wife, you look at him and he looks like this. Are you kidding me, man? Allahu musta'an. So we put pressure on ourselves for not being realistic and not heeding to that Islamic marriage strategies and the Quran and the Sunnah, inshaAllah. So there are two criteria for the sisters and four criteria for the brothers. InshaAllah, we are not going to emphasize that. But I want to give you one thing. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has given you one that you cannot go without. Which one is that? The deen. Very good. So I will give you with a one visual that hopefully you will not forget. Okay? So we now know that لِجَمَالِهَا, her beauty is a given. As we mentioned, Islam is a practical religion. And now the wealth, the lineage, the family, and the deen. So, number one on Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's list, the most important of all, is the deen. So we'll put it up. Deen is number one. Very good. Deen is number one. Don't forget that. Right on. But in the process of choice, we know that we go for beauty first, and I will explain the reason why behind it, inshallah. But really, the most important foundation is deen. So number one. Now, she is beautiful. Bonus. Put a zero. She's a 10. All right. Now she's also rich. That's 100%. Put another zero here, man. Now she also comes from a good family, good upbringing, environment. That's batting 1,000. Now take away the deen. What do you got? 3 zeros. Enjoy. Good life, mashallah. Now we already know the sisters is looking for this man on the white horse and all that stuff and the things that we talked about earlier. And that's where the dilemma comes in. Why? Because they've been reading this story with this guy and this guy that's coming in with all these fantasies, right? When they're young, they've been planning this wedding. It's true. It's true. And I'll tell you, I've actually been to a wedding where the guy had to come in on a white horse. Wallahi, Akhi, I'm telling you the truth. He made it very difficult for all of us. How do you top that? And had to sign a wedding with a feather, and it was beautiful. It's beautiful, romantic. It's true. It's very true. But what happens into that process after choosing the spouse and so on? Now you have to fight. Fight whom? Now the parents are coming in on one side. Religious aspect is on one side. Then you have the urf, traditions and cultures on one side. You're born and raised here, but your parents still do what? With all due respect, of course, I speak, you might come on, tika acha ji kehala, you know. Been there, done that. I love biryani, by the way. Don't. It's true. You're in the dilemma. Your parents want you to have this. And by the way, your parents have already chosen a spouse for you. But you don't know it. Yet. I have heard this. One brother got a phone call. Hey son, go pick up your wife from the airport. She's coming in. Now what do you do? You're in a dilemma. You want to please your parents because you don't want to disobey them because there's rules and regulations that has this 1, 2, 3. But now you want to live your life. You do not want to receive your wife in a parcel where you have to sign for her and go, ah! For the first time in your life to see this woman. It's against the sunnah, by the way. You're supposed to see her, right? So now what happens? You go through a struggle. You go through a struggle. And then who do you please? Your parents? Yourself? Culture? What? How about pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How about following the sunnah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? You can't go wrong. Now this is one of the hurdles. The other hurdle. Ka-ching! You see, in some countries, there's a big price tag in order for you to get married. No, we haven't done the wedding yet. We're talking about dowry. Now, the brother, I've seen a brother that's very old, hasn't gotten married yet, and asked him, Akhi, you married? How many kids do you have? And then so on. He goes, I'm not married yet, man. I go, brother, from another mother. Where is the sister from another mister? What happened, dude? He goes, I'm still collecting dowry. You're 55 years old, man. Collecting dowry, are you kidding? So why? You see what happened? The scholar says, this haram thing that is going on around. This jawaz urfi, this boyfriend, girlfriend, this chatting, this phone calls, the stuff we talked about earlier. You know what the scholar says? لِأَنَّكُمْ صَعَبْتُمِ الْحَلَالِ فَصَارَ الْحَرَامُ يَسِيرًا. We have made it difficult for our own sons and daughters to do the right thing, to get halal marriage. We put so many labels, a price tag, so much pressure on our own children, and they are a walking... What's the proper word to say? They have things inside them. They move. It's true. Human beings with emotions, temptations, they see things around and they act upon it. But now we put all these restrictions and hurdles. You have to do this, you have to do that, you have to do this. And some of us are actually what? Reserving our own daughter for my brother's son back home. Wallahi, it's true. These are true stories. We deal with this issue all the time. And, oh yes, I will not marry my second daughter unless my first daughter gets married first. Same with the brother and the sister is going around. My man, how you doing? I'm waiting. Is this halal or haram? Is this the proper way to do it? Is this a sunnah? SubhanAllah. Now, what happens? Is this part, when it comes to delivering the final product? You know, we're holding on to our daughter so much because we don't want to give her up. And this brother's coming in and fighting you. I want, hey uncle, can I have your daughter? You know, we have to go through a struggle, this wali. Now I'm the last line of defense, so we have to look for faults with this guy. Shoot, we don't want you around here. So now what happens, akhi? We go through this process of elimination. And we'll go through these tests. And you feel like you're on a hot chair. I remember the first time I actually went to see my wife. I took a cake. That's what you're supposed to do, apparently. You buy a chocolate cake or something and you dress really nice. And then you go in, you know. You know, the shoes in the back and you polishing and all that stuff. And you're like, your heart is going. And now you knock on the door. And all of a sudden, you see this, like the fire dragon, whatever you call that. You know, you go in and you have your father, her uncle, her brother. It's like you're appealing your fire squad. And they're shooting at you with all these questions. You go, I just came to ask for your hand in marriage, man. So, of course, the first time I actually did not see my wife. It's true. So I am going back and going... And I'm waiting for a phone call. I had to go through the process with that firing squad first. And I had the second phone call. And I go in for the second time. Like interviews. Trying to get a job as a husband. And now I had to buy another cake. This is costly, man. What's up? And I had to go with another suit because otherwise they will think I only have that one suit that I'm trying to impress these people. Again, the whole duration of that interview, she didn't come out. She didn't come out. So I'm going, alrighty then. So just before I go, Jazakumullah khairan, thank you. I get the hint. Cool. You don't have to. You don't worry about it. So something was pushed out. They actually had to push her out in order for me to see. These are things, it's true. Like the more difficulties and all that stuff, I understand. But now, when it comes to even the process of, yes, you agree on certain things, and parents agree with each other, and the children, and money, job, place, where, or what language, kids, and all that stuff, different criterias. Here comes another major hurdle. What is it? The wedding. You're right. The wedding itself. Allahu Akbar. You know, I know that some certain cultures have so many, mashallah, events in order for the brother to actually get to be, you know, alhamdulillah, halal inshallah, You know, with her, it's amazing the hurdles that they put through. What happens? First, they have something I believe called, nikah ni'mah. Then you go rukhsati. Then they go bankruptcy. And they go. By the time the brother is actually married and alone with his wife, he's $40,000 in debt. How do you start your life in a minus? Honey, we're broke. So we have to raise money to be able to say we're even or we're broke. SubhanAllah. So I say, why, akhi? Why put pressure on yourself? And ukhti, why is it then? And the most answer is, because my cousin did this. Or my this did that. My dowry was this, and her dowry was that. And that, what will people say? How can we? And wallahi, it is very difficult. Very difficult, even though that we identify ourselves as a Muslim. But we buckle under pressure. Because of the people, the culture, the urf, these traditions. These things with a price tag. And of course, the dilemma. Living in this society, what happens? What kind of a wedding will we have? You know, right or the left? Are we more the moderate? So maybe the brothers on this side, the sisters on that side, and the married people in the middle? Will we be doing the duf or what anashid? Or what kind of a... All these things that they actually fight, and believe it or not, some marriages break up before they even get to the first base because they cannot get together on this. And what happens, of course, during that wedding? Guess what happens on during the wedding? Apparently, it has to start with Quran. Because I go into the weddings, doing this marriage certificate thingy. And, the sisters, amazingly enough, I call this the convertible hijab thingy. The sisters have this beautiful shawl on their shoulders. And they start the wedding with, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. They start the sentence in Quran. And all of a sudden, amazingly, a miracle happens. The sisters with the scarf on their shoulders, what happens? They go, Allahu Akbar. All the sisters are muhajjaba now. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله. This is amazing. I have seen this with my own eyes. Then, after a while, what happens? Sadaqa Allahu al-Azim. What happens? A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan. Wastaghfir. La hawla wa la quwwata. So close, yet so far. As if hijab was just there in order for you to put it when the Quran is recited. Subhanallah, ya akhi. Now, in the wedding in itself, these dilemmas, these hurdles that we go through, this, it's a moral dilemma for us. What do we do? So I have a little bit of a game plan for you, inshallah. Because we are looking for solutions. We are here to do something that is called the right thing. And sometimes doing the right thing may not be the right thing to do. But doing things right may not be the right thing to do. Or doing the right thing may not be doing things the way that we think they are. It's true. So in order for us to go through this beautiful journey, I'm going to invite you to come to Home Sweet Home. Next year when I come back to Australia, inshallah, to give you the rundown and everything else. But to leave you with a few things. First, I'm talking to the guardians now. Specifically, the fathers. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you that power, akhi. فَلَا تَكُنْ مِنَ الْمُعْضُلِينَ لَا تَعْضُلُ. Don't misabuse. Don't abuse this power or misuse this power. It's true. You are the last line of defense. So we say, اتَّقِ اللَّهِ فِي ابْنَتِكَ. Be conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fear Allah in your daughter. Treating with your daughter, inshaAllah. Please understand, ukhti, that you are looking for the father of your children. Not just the husband, you're looking for the father of your children. Same with you, akhi. Because right now the brothers are looking for certain things, but we have a short vision. When we look down the line, could this person be the mother of my children? There are books that we actually have to read and put these things together. 1001 questions. There's a few little tests. Does she fit the criteria? What happens? Go back to Shuraih al-Qadi. And what happens when he started his wedding? Do you know what to do when you start your wedding? Or the evening and the day? Do you know that there's supposed to be some sunan? If you don't know the sunan, I want you to go back and do your homework. Read a book called Tuhfat al-Arus. And if not, inshallah, we can provide it for you. Later on in a summary. But you want to make sure that you alleviate these hurdles by going back to the Quran and Sunnah. And ask yourself, did Islam really make marriage difficult? The answer is no. It's very easy. As a matter of fact, when I deal with other societies or other ways of life, they say this amazing. By one word, this woman is married to this man. One word, and they're not married anymore. Subhanallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it so easy. With credentials, the criteria are very simple. Look at Fatima radiallahu anha wa ardaha. Look at Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu wa ardaha. What did they do? How did they do it? Even Ali ibn Abi Talib, what did he do? Actually, Prophet Muhammad was the one to approach Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu wa ardaha. So what did he have? What was his dowry, by the way? How about the shield of the armor Prophet Muhammad gave? What was her furniture like? Fatima al-Zahra, the daughter of Prophet Muhammad, the leader of women in heaven. What was her furniture like, Yaqi? Anybody knows? SubhanAllah. Amazingly enough, you'll find out they had something to sleep on. A pillow that had loofah inside as a stuffing. And one pot to cook in. And one, something to grind the seeds. But now when you go to the sister, what does she want? I want a fur coat, a Mercedes-Benz, I want a flat the screen TV, a multi-whatever video, I want the dowry, blah, 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 blah. I want a house next to my blah, blah, blah. I don't want you to get married to a second wife. I don't want you to... The conditions are so long and amazing. Amazing, wallahi. So you keep asking yourself, if you go back to the roots, it will go back and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it easy for us. We'll make it difficult, we'll make it difficult for our own selves. This is the bottom line. Bottom line is, we have to go back to the Quran and Sunnah. And you find out, how did Prophet Muhammad say? And what did he say? He says, أَكْثَرُهُنَّ بَرَكَةً أَقَلُّهُنَّ مُهُورًا. Remember, the more blessings, the more Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's blessings upon your marriage is that, less of a dowry. Less of a dowry. And you know, in certain countries, it's supposed to be rich countries, they actually don't get married from the same. They go somewhere else, get married. Why do you think that is? You got it. They can't afford it. Do you believe it? This is supposed to be a rich country. I'm not going to name any countries. Japan? Okay, let's go with that. It's not Japan. However, I'm sure some of us know what country they are. Some countries, it's not a problem. However, we need to learn from it, not to mention, it's not important who they are. What's important for us is to learn from that. They cannot get married. As a matter of fact, have you ever heard this sentence, I have to go back home to find a wife. Anybody heard that before or said that before? Have to go back home to find a wife. Why do you think you want to go back home, akhi, to find a wife? Anybody knows? Why would you even fathom or think of that? Because you cannot afford some, it's true. Or they will think it will be easier that way. So what we're saying here, let's help one another to do the right thing. Let's help one another to come back. Let's help one another to do what is supposed to be done is according to Islam, Quran and Sunnah. So my proposal for you is very simple. I do this with every community I go. I'm going to ask a couple, a very well-known, respected couple in the community to come forth. Not here, I'm just not asking you to do it now, but inshallah to take it upon yourself. As a husband and wife, Because we see a lot of sisters want to get married and they can't find the brother. Or don't know how to deal with it, or meet, or talk, and how to get to know them. Same thing with the brothers. There are a lot of brothers who want to get married. But they just don't know how to, you know, you hook them, I fry them. They don't know how to clinch the deal. How do I do it? So I did this with my wife. I asked the brothers, anybody wants to get married? They send me an email, would tell me who they are, what they're looking for, and send me a picture. And I tell the sisters, anybody wants to get married, do the same thing, but email my wife. And then we try to match. We don't do this as a business, but we do it as a community. Wallahi, I'm not asking if the brothers are doing this as a business. May Allah bless you. Good for you, wallahi, inshallah. I don't mind that at all. It's true. But the percentage is low, actually. Percentage is low. For the, I'm not going to talk about it because I mean, I don't want to offend anyone. But what we're saying, akhi, we have to look for solutions. The problem we're having is our brothers and sisters are actually doing something that's haram or actually getting married to somebody else, even outside of the faith. Because they have an easy way. They have it as, okay, I want to just make sure that I protect myself and do it. And do the right thing. The cause is noble. So what I'm asking from this community, inshallah, is to come with a solution. One brother, one sister, or a couple, inshallah, to come up with this idea. The idea of, and everyone comes forward with a picture. It's like as if you're applying. The things that you need to know about it. And go through the criteria. And then the sister will do the same thing. Being entrusted, of course, with this information that will not go anywhere. Try and match. And that happens, I will give you 4 pointers if you're ever selected. 4 points that you have to remember. The first thing is called istishara. The second will be istikhara. The third will be azm. And the fourth will be tawakkul. So let us explain. Istishara is consulting. Doing your homework. Asking about the background and the 4 criteria for the brothers and the 2 criteria for the sisters. And of course, we know the takaful, compatibility between the two in different ways. Now, after you've done that, you do istishara and istikhara. Istikhara means what, akhi? You're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to choose what's best for you. So, but if you go into istikhara with a predetermined attitude, you already know that. What I want is, but I'm doing istikhara anyway. Or you're doing istikhara, you're going like this. It doesn't work that way. So you're doing what? You're doing first thing, you're doing your homework. 1, 2, 3. The sister has all these criteria. The brother has all these criteria. Alhamdulillah. I see the sister walking to work, or the school, or whatever it is, or their family. I've seen the sister. And that's how I actually ask the brothers what to do. I tell them first, see the sister, akhi. If you like what you see, then proceed. Then you ask about the background. You ask about all these things. You've done your homework, pray 2 rak'at. To ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to choose what's best for you. Because no one knows what's in the heart, and no one knows what's in the future except Allah subhanahu wa jalla fi ula. Now once you get the green light, if things are going very smooth, proceed. If things are making it very difficult, no matter how hard you try, run! Abandon ship! Run, Forrest, run. Yeah, exactly. Allah musta'an. After that, by the way, you don't have to see anything in a dream or anything like that, but it's an illusion. So now the third one is after you get the green light, things are going smooth. Azm, determination. Number 4 is you put your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Very simple formula. When you start, I want to go back to Shuraih al-Qadi where I started with. I want you to sit down with that sister of yours. With your wife, inshallah. As the Shuraih al-Qadi's wife said, says, ala rislik. Hold on. He says, please tell me what you like so I can do, and tell me what you don't like, and I will not do. very simple statement, but we don't do it. We take everyone for granted. Amazing. Subhanallah. And then you talk about the goals, the comments, and all that stuff. And inshallah, the sunan. I want to start you off with the right sunan. And I will leave you with this inshallah. What do you guys do after the wedding? I know you've seen the movies. Usually what happens? The brother will carry the sister. All right. No, that's not what I'm asking you to do. I'm asking you to do what? Establish the sunnah. You're supposed to say a du'a. You're supposed to say a du'a before you enter the home. And then you enter with which foot? With the right foot. You're right. And what do you say? Bismillah. Assalamu alaikum. Of course, the du'a is in Hisn al-Muslim. You have the fortress of a Muslim. Please get it. If you don't have it, get it. Best small little booklet that will help you through it, inshallah. Enter with the right foot, you say, Bismillah, Assalamu alaikum. Why Bismillah, ya akhi? I'm talking to the brothers now. And the sisters, if the brother doesn't know that, slap him upside the head, wake him up quick, inshallah. Remind him. Gently, ever so gently, with TLC, with this, not the TV channel. Tender love and care of the husband. Don't smack, you need the guy. So now you say Bismillah because everything is in the name of Allah. What happens? Shayateen will be out of there. We can't stay here. The name of Allah is mentioned. Assalamu alaikum. Why do you say Assalamu alaikum? Is there anybody there? The sister will probably think that you're talking to himself already. Allahu Akbar. Wait, man, I'll show you. And you'll really be talking to yourself for real. But why? Why are you saying Assalamu alaikum? You're right. The good, and there's also others. But I don't want to scare you because you don't have nightmares and so on. We'll talk about it. Bismillah, Assalamu alaikum. You enter with your right foot. Subhanallah, that's beautiful. And then what? Who knows what to do? What do you do first, akhi? Sorry? I heard it right. Allah is yazdik al-khair. Good man, mashallah, akhi. Most people don't know that, wallahi. My man, I've been waiting for 25 years, dude. You want me the first thing I come in to the house? Pray two rakat? You must be kidding. No, I'm not. That's the sunnah. You pray two rakat. Why? You're establishing a fact. You're establishing a home that is built upon obedience of Allah. Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is a Muslim home. You're declaring, you're raising a banner. This is a Muslim home. We're starting with an obedience to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we found each other. You're starting to say that this is a house of Rahman, not a house of Shaitan. And there is another declaration. Who leads the prayer? You're thinking, who leads the prayer? Yes, of course, the man. Why does he lead the prayer? You know, there's actually something behind it. Because women don't lead? What is it? Head of the family? Mashallah, you're on the right track, Ufti. The qawama. Okay, the qawama. The time is up. You're right. The sister will go down after the man says, Allahu Akbar. Sister will come up when he says, Sami'a Allahu liman hamida. Do you understand, akhi? Establishing this firm that in every castle has to be one king and one queen. You cannot have two kings, and you can certainly have no two queens.